Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at difficult and important passages from the book of Revelation. And today we're going to be focusing on Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, which speaks about this temple which will be in existence during the tribulation period. Verses read this way. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Let's first of all look at this fact that there will be a temple in the last days, and it's going to play an important part of Bible prophecy. Here, as John is recording the book of Revelation, comes to a point sometime during the tribulation period where he's told to measure the temple. Now, this is an incredible prophecy, especially in our day, since a temple does not exist in our day. So the Bible here predicts that in the last days, during the tribulation period, there will be a temple in place. And part of that temple will be given over to the Gentiles for 42 months or for 3.5 years, which is the exact time of the last half of the tribulation period. According to Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the tribulation period will last 7 years. And at the middle point during the tribulation period, something extremely important is going to happen in relationship to this temple. It's clear that the Bible predicts that the Antichrist, that last world ruler, will go into the temple of God, demand to be worshipped, stop the sacrificial system, claim to be God, and demand that all will worship him or be persecuted at that point. And so let's look at four passages which describe which will take place at this 3.5 year point called the Abomination of Desolation. The clearest one is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, which reads this way. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now listen to this. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there's coming a point where this man of sin, the Antichrist, the last world ruler, will go into the temple of God in Jerusalem and claim to be God and demand to be worshipped as God. At this point, I would suggest, is probably when the mark of the beast is applied, which is described in the book of Revelation, that someone has to have that mark to be able to buy or sell, but it's also primarily a mark which relates to their allegiance or loyalty or worship of the Antichrist. Jesus also spoke about this event in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. And he says this, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, those words seem to be a mouthful, but actually they're very simple. We all know what an abomination is, something that is offensive to God in his sight and in his eyes. And then the word desolation, that means destruction. So this is the abomination or that offensive thing that'll bring in destruction or desolation. So let me read that again. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So here the abomination of desolation, some form of abomination which is going to bring in God's judgment, will be standing in the holy place. It's clear you tie this passage to 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, and it's when the Antichrist goes into the temple of God, demands to be worshipped as God. That is the abomination which will bring in God's wrath and destruction and desolation. And so Jesus here tells us it'll be standing in the holy place. The other two passages which clearly speak about the abomination of desolation is found in Daniel chapter 9, here in verse 27. It reads this way. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And that he is the Antichrist, and the week here in the context is a description of 1 7-year period. But in the middle of the week, that's at the 3.5-year point. That's why we're seeing there in Revelation chapter 11, it's been given over to the Gentiles for 42 months. That's a 3.5-year period. Here's what the Antichrist will do at that 3.5-year point. He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. That's what Jesus is quoting. That's why he said, let the reader understand. So he's going to, at the 3.5-year point, cause the sacrificial system to stop, and then in place set up an abomination or the worship of himself, which will bring in destruction. And we know that this event happens right at the middle of the tribulation period, at the 3.5-year point, because that's what the verse says, in the middle of the week. And then also another interesting passage which relates to the abomination of desolation is found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And it reads this way, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we see from the book of Daniel, from Revelation, and also from 2 Thessalonians, that there's going to be a point where the Antichrist will go into the temple, demand to be worshipped as God, stop the sacrificial system, and then set himself up as God and demand worship of himself. That's what Jesus referred to as the abomination of desolation. And from Daniel, we see the timing is right in the middle of the week, and there'll be 3.5 years from that point before the Lord comes back. So it's extremely important to realize that there must be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem for the tribulation period to be filled, as well as a sacrificial system to be started back up in the nation of Israel, in the temple, so the Antichrist could stop that system and demand to be worshipped as God. And when you start seeing those things happening of Israel focusing on rebuilding a temple and getting a sacrificial system reinstituted, those are the definite signs that we are definitely coming near to the end. Now, no one should ever set a date, nor will I ever, but those are signs of the Lord's coming that we should all be aware of. Now, listen also to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 24, as well as in verse 28. It says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country not enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Then verse 28 says, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." And that's a reference to the Lord's coming, where he'll come in and rescue and establish his kingdom. So here we see in the scriptures that there must be this temple that is to be rebuilt, as well as a sacrificial system. And when that starts happening, at some point in the tribulation period, the Gentiles will have authority or control over the outer part of the temple. Now, going back to Revelation 11, verse 2, it's interesting, where he says, "But leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. So a portion of this temple is not going to be used for the sacrificial system and for the worship of God. It's given over to the Gentiles. Now, here's an interesting point that Pastor Chuck Smith has made on these verses, and he just offers it as a suggestion, as do I. It's interesting that in Jerusalem, on the holiest place in Jerusalem, which is called the Temple Mount, that is where the Jews, or the Orthodox Jews, believe that that's the very point which Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord and was spared by the angel of the Lord, and then the ram was offered in his place. They also believe that's the very place where David had built his temple, and it's the very place where they want to rebuild their temple of the last days. Now, the problem is that the Palestinians in Islamic religion also have a holy site there called the Mosque of Omar. It's a Muslim mosque that they believe is one of their most holy sites in all the earth. What they believe about this is that that's the exact point where Muhammad ascended up to heaven, received the Quran, and then descended back to the earth, right on that spot. So they built a mosque there. And the real difficulty is that's where many of the Jews believe that's where the holies of holies is, and the holy place is to be rebuilt. Now, the problem is, if you do anything to that temple there, obviously you know how delicate the situation is. That could start World War III, and a holy war would instantly break out. But interesting enough, there's been some archaeologists of recent times that have re-examined the site, and they actually believe that the temple, the holy place, and the holies of holies is just a little to the side of this mosque. And that's where they may want to rebuild that portion of the temple, which would mean that outer portion, or the court of the Gentiles, is where that mosque is resting today. And wouldn't that be interesting to have the holy place and the holies of holies right next to this Muslim mosque? What a contrast. Now, it is interesting that in the Temple Mount area, it's actually guarded by both Palestinian and Israeli soldiers. So when you walk around there, there's Palestinians that guard the place, as well as Israeli soldiers that are guarding. That's the most unusual thing. The only way I could compare that to is think about a site that we have in our nation, such as Washington, D.C. What would you think if that territory was given over to part of the control of watching it and supervising it, and armed guards were there from Russia and part were from the United States, because we both claimed part of that land as something sacred to us? It would just be unusual to have a part of our nation be given over, or partially given over, to foreign control. Well, that's what's happening right there. That's because that place is so tense. And here this scripture may be prophetic as to how this whole situation will be worked out. Also, one other thought about this temple. I have had the privilege to go over to the nation of Israel and talk with one of the rabbis that were there discussing this whole issue about the rebuilding of the temple. And he made an interesting comment because I brought up the obvious. Well, it's obviously a very difficult, intense spot. How are you going to rebuild the temple there without causing a war? And his comment was, well, we believe that when Messiah shows up, he will allow us to build this temple in peace. In my mind, I thought of many scriptures that point to the false Messiah that's going to bring in a false peace and allow them to rebuild the temple and get the sacrificial system started back up. But yet in the middle of that 7-year agreement, he will stop the sacrificial system, claim to be God, and demand to be worshipped as God. So one of the main signs of the last days will be when Israel, as a nation, rebuilds the temple and also starts a sacrificial system. Those two points are definitely clear evidence that the book of Revelation is getting in place to be fulfilled in its entirety.